Today, are mortgage rates on their way up? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Steve from Canstar. Hi, Steve.
G'day, Martin.
How are you going?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Back in the Sydney office now, so reality's dawning.
Look, everyone's feeling a little more confident, I think, and we're travelling, and the airports are starting getting busier, and I was out and about in the streets in Sydney over the weekend. People are really around. So, you know, things are taking off again.
Okay, well, that's good. Now, talking about things taking off, one of the big questions, of course, is are mortgage rates going to take off? We know the Reserve Bank is going to pretty much keep the cash rate where it is for the next 2 or 3 years, or maybe more than that. But you've just got a survey that suggests that people are a bit more twitchy than that.
Yeah, they are. 40% of people say that the interest rate increase will come earlier than the Reserve Bank is saying, and not just earlier, but by between a year and 2 years earlier. So people are saying that. Now, they're using the same reasons the Reserve Bank are using, the number one and number two, the state of the economy and inflation. Well, you know, that's obvious. The Reserve Bank looks at the same stuff there, but for some reason, people are interpreting this a bit differently. But number three is property prices. And they're saying with property prices doing what they're doing, well, you know, is the Reserve Bank going to be able to resist an earlier rise? And, you know, it's a pretty fair argument about that.
Well, it is. So let's just sort of tease that apart and try and bring some intelligence to bear. We know a few things, right? We know that some of the banks have stopped the very cheap 5-year and 4-year mortgages that were on a couple of months ago, right? In fact, you and I had a chat then and we both, I think, agree that that was a really remarkable rate and people might want to lock in because that was almost once in a generation, right? And so it's proved to be. Now, that's because the yield curve, which is an indicator of future rates potentially, is definitely signalling higher. The banks are still offering shorter term fixed rates on very, very good rates. And of course, the variable rate is pretty good at the moment. But that's sort of one indicator that people are saying, well, maybe that's an indicator then of what the banks are thinking.
Yeah, and look, it is. It is. The banks are saying, look, we have locked away a fair bit of volume now in the 4 and 5 year terms. Do we want to lock away a whole lot more when interest rates are going to be higher and we expect them to be higher? But I think there's something else in it too, and that is that one of the banks jumped in with a lower 2 or 3 year rate, and the other said, you know what, that's still the popular term that people go for. They all go for 2 and 3 years. So I think the banks, the others probably said, well, look, we've got to match that now. Whether we think people should be going 4 or 5 years, we'll make sure we're very competitive in 2 and 3 years. And to make a bit of room for that, they brought down their headline rate in the 4-year term. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a mixed message still. Mm. And I don't think the banks be too worried if they write a fair bit of volume at these margins at the moment, because there's still money to be made on 4 and 5 year loans being locked away.
Absolutely. And of course, the second point is that the term funding facility, which is the very, very cheap money that the Reserve Bank is throwing at the banks at 0.1%, right? They've done $95 billion so far, according to the notes from the Reserve Bank yesterday. Mm-hmm. And there's another $95 billion to come. But that probably will end up sort of taking it till June or something, and then potentially that might put upward pressure on rates again.
Yeah, look, that will disappear, and I think that will put some upward pressure on rates. Now, that's not funding the whole book, of course, so people have to be clear about that. That will put some upward pressure on rates, and that's a 3-year term funding facility. So it works for 3-year money and doesn't work as well for 4 and 5 year loans. You know, you can fund your 3-year debt very nicely with a bit in 10 basis points. Don't forget also, though, that the banks are awash with deposits, absolutely awash. And 60% of their book is being funded with, their loan book is being funded with deposits. And, you know, they're only paying about 5 basis points on those, except for these bonus bits, which run off. So they've got very low funding there too. But, you know, if the market says longer term rates will go up, the market's probably right. We're seeing world recovery. And the market's probably right. Rates will go up. And plenty of people are saying 2 years, but the Reserve Bank still says three. You know, the Reserve Bank has a lot of economists working for them, and maybe a lot of other people don't.
Well, and the other point, of course, is that we still have a greater proportion of loans on variable rate rather than fixed rate, right? Now. I think it's about 20-25% on fixed and the rest on variable. So that basically means that the variable rate could move. Now, it could move because the Reserve Bank moves effectively the target rate, or indeed there could be some out-of-cycle moves on behalf of the banks themselves as they look at their margins and look at their portfolios. My own sense, and what you think, is it's quite unlikely that the variable rate is going to move anytime soon.
Yeah, look, I agree. We're going to see this at the longer term in the yield curve. And that just means that the anticipation is that rates will go up. And whereas today's rate, the variable rate, is, well, look, rates have gone up. It's done. It's a done deal. Whereas I think you normally see it first in fixed rates. Fixed rates lead the way. People, there's some interesting choices this gives people, of course, because, you know, do I stay variable for now, but watch what's happening, read the tea leaves a little bit, and choose to lock in really long term when rates start to move? Now, that's a pretty smart move if you're confident that you'll still want to be in the house at that time. But just to diverge on that for a second, the risk at the moment in being locked into a rate that doesn't work or being locked in and having to pay big exit costs is minute. Frankly, it's really very low. I've never seen it as low as this, because the cash, the bank bill swap rate is 0.1% also, and really your exit cost, if you have to pay the economic cost of the bank, is based on mainly on the bank bill swap rate. So it's the risk in being locked in isn't as big as it was some time back. It's almost like you bought yourself a great little option for 4 or 5 years potentially.
Yeah, make a very good point there, Steve, because I was talking to someone the other day who actually decided to get out of their fixed rate loan, and they were still charged nearly $15,000-$16,000 just to get out of it. And I said, well, that seems hugely excessive relative to what I would expect because of the point you were just making. So it is worth reading the small print if you are thinking of locking yourself in.
Yeah, and they must have fixed a year ago or something and still have a couple of years to run. And that's the risk. I mean, fixed rate loans traditionally have taken off when rates increases have been so painful for people that they say, look, I've got no choice. I've got to fix. I just can't handle this anymore. The stress is getting me. And they fix 10 minutes before rates start to fall. And that's when you get these massive, massive economic costs that people feel locked in. And they are locked in. And it happened pre-GFC where people fixed it, 8%. And boy, did they suffer when the rest of us were watching our rates go down.
And that is the point, of course, because even if rates fall, you don't get the benefit and you still have to pay those penalty fees. So it is a little bit of a punt. But as you say, if you do it now with the rate so low and with the swap rate also very low, the actual real cost could be quite limited.
I think you'd be very unlucky to incur much of a cost at all, to be quite honest. There's the statutory, release of mortgage stuff and all that. But that aside, I think you'd be very unlucky at this stage to get it so wrong. Now, that's assuming you do fix at a nice low rate, not some sort of rubbish average rate, fixed below 2%, because there are 157 loans, fixed rate loans, below 2% on CanStar's database. Fixed below 2%, and you're not going to go too far wrong.
But that is the point. Shop around, right? Because not all the rates are the same. There are still some much higher rates that people might get locked into when they don't need to.
Yeah, absolutely. And the average rate is still above 3%. Now, you take 2% away from 3% and you're paying 1% too much. And that's a huge, huge amount too much to pay. It's a couple of hundred dollars on the average loan, a couple of hundred dollars every month on the average loan. Now, who is very comfortable about throwing $2,400 a year down the drain or into the bank's coffers for that matter?
Well, the banks are sort of relying on that, aren't they? They're relying, as we've spoken before, of people's laziness and people, you know, frankly, not worrying and just calling, we call it the apathy tax sometimes. But it really is, in this low rate environment, pretty critical in terms of, you know, making sure that you do the work and you do check to make sure that you've got the very best rates you are. I guess the other point I'd make is that the chance of locking a fixed rate, it does give you that insurance, that peace of mind. So in the level of uncertainty that we've got with rates and where they may go, at least you know precisely where you are. And for some people, that's actually quite valuable.
Oh, look, it is. What you've actually really done is locked your repayment. So you're saying, I owe this much to the bank every month, and I will for 3, 4, or 5 years owe them that much every month. I know I can afford that. You know, things can still go wrong, but I know I can really afford that. And I don't have this worry that I'll end up paying another $200 because rates have gone up a couple of percent. So that's the real benefit in fixed rates. So you don't try to finesse it necessarily too much. You're not an interest rate trader. Make sure that you make your decisions knowing that, and that, you know, that's the reason for it, to fix your repayments. And if you get a little bit wrong, don't have interest rate envy. You know, in the long term, it'll work out, provided you've got a good rate here and now.
Absolutely, and that is the point. Now, let's move on to the other side of the equation, right? Because the other thing we need to talk about is what's called macro prudential controls, right? And so there are some people arguing that the housing market's got too hot, house prices are rising very fast, and it will be APRA or the Reserve Bank, or more likely the Council of Financial Regulators, who I call Philip Lowe's other brain, because it's basically all three of them sitting around the table, right? APRA, ASIC, and the Reserve Bank. Now, there is sort of a little bit of a note in the Reserve Bank minutes from yesterday, saying they are watching very closely lending standards and et cetera, et cetera. And Wayne Bars the other day, who runs APRA, said, we don't worry about home prices at all. That's just a consequence of other things, right? But there is, I think, a valid discussion to be had about whether macroprudential control is on the radar.
Look, it is. And you know, I think about the regulators. I think of ASIC and APRA and the Reserve Bank, and maybe the government gets a seat here too, sitting around a poker table and looking at each other and saying, who's going to move here? Whose turn is it to take a hit or whatever? Because I think it's interesting that the governor of the Reserve Bank says, well, look at lending standards. Well, isn't that APRA's deal? Yes. Isn't that what they do? So I think there's something pretty interesting going on. Now, the Reserve Bank is not going to want to move too early on interest rates. It will look at it and say, well, the housing market's one thing, and sure, we've stimulated that. Well, that worked. but they're also worried about business investment and business recovery. We haven't seen that yet, and we need a lot more of that before this economy is going to go to full employment and before the labour market shortages appear and before inflation takes off, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't want a stronger dollar. We want to stay competitive. So the Reserve Bank will say, well, cross that one out. That's not for us to do. So, Mr. APRA, it's your turn. And I think that's where we will see something happen, because we want to target this just at the housing market. We don't want to target this as a broad band and hurt everybody. So we target the housing market by bringing in these macroprudential controls. And you know, they'll do one around LVR, and they'll do one around debt to income ratios. And so the LVR might be banks, you shall not lend more than 20% of your book to LVRs greater than 20% or 25%. LVR is greater than 80% or maybe 75% or maybe even 70%. And LVR, for people who wonder, is almost the inverse of your equity or your deposit. So that's sort of like capping lending at a 20% or even 30%. And the loan-to-income ratio, of course, is the number of times the loan can be compared to your income. And, you know, maybe 5, maybe 6. Once you get over 6, start getting pretty steep, and they probably want to stop it before then. They can lend to 7, but 7's really getting right up there.
Well, it's interesting that if you look at first-time buyer loans, they're about 15 to 80% higher than they were a year ago. So that would indicate that something's changed, and whether it's lending standards or whether it's just that rates have come down. But that means that people are more extended. And in fact, in my surveys, I'm seeing quite a few first-time buyers at 6, 7, 8, 9 times, which is, pretty excessive. And we also saw the recent APRA data showed that the loan-to-value ratio is going up and therefore a bit more risky, and the loan-to-income going up a bit more risky. So there are some early signs of some risk, and it's worth reflecting on what happened in New Zealand, right? Because in fact, in New Zealand, home prices started looking like they're going to be going 20% higher over the year. And both the government and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand basically started tussling as to what to do. And ultimately, the government imposed an extra obligation on the Reserve Bank in New Zealand to say, you've got to think about home prices when you make your rate decisions. And of course, they've also intervened with other loan-to-income and debt-to-income measures to try and calm the market in New Zealand. So that may be a little bit of a leading indicator of some of the things we may well see here.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I don't doubt it. Now, it's probably too early yet. I mean, we've had a 2% increase in February of house prices, and we've had we look like it might be 2.8 or something in March. Now, they're massive increases, but I don't think anyone's going to jump just based on a couple of months, and it's a bit more than that, of course. But I don't think anyone's ready to jump right now, because I'll say, look, we did this to get the economy recovering. We don't want to kill the goose that's laying the golden egg right now. So let's give it a chance to work and work its way through. And we haven't seen what JobKeeper might do here as well. So JobKeeper will have some unemployment and maybe bring some properties onto the market, et cetera, et cetera. So let's watch this for a little while. But I think if we saw those sort of increases, those 2.8% for 6 months, I don't think there's a whole lot of choice. I think we'll have to slow it up, because those sort of price increases hurt everybody ultimately. Borrowers start making really bad decisions, taking on too much debt they can't afford. Lenders start lending on prices that are inflated, so that if the loan does fail, ultimately what happens is that lenders lose money, and the system can actually weaken because some lenders could fail themselves. And of course, socially, it's a disaster. Young people saving cannot get into houses if we see rates moving that fast away from them. So that's the real problem. So I think if we see these sort of increases for another 6 months, well, April will move.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. The other thing I'd also highlight is that whilst we've got a lot of people taking new debt on, there's also a massive amount of debt repayment going on by other sectors, other people. So, in fact, the net growth in debt, if you look at the growth figures, are actually quite low. But masking that, you've got massive repayments on one side of the house and massive drawdowns on the other side of the house.
Yeah, it does. And this generational inequality thing is quite a problem. And you know, and there's a fair bit of bitterness about this out in the real world. People are very concerned about, well, they're saying, look, how will we ever get a break like our parents got? And look, maybe we won't see that those times return again. In terms of service, it's interesting. In terms of servicing a loan, actually repaying it, it's easier now than it was at times when, I was first borrowing. And that's because when I was first borrowing, rates were up at around 18%. Now we're around 2%, and boy, that's a lot easier to repay. Putting together your deposit is a heck of a lot harder. And that's the problem. And of course, that's what people are saying, that how can we just can't see our way clear to doing that at this stage. It's interesting, though. I mean, low interest rates and the environment of price movements we've seen actually does encourage awful decision making all round, because fear of missing out is there for first home buyers. Even investors are showing signs of fearing missing out. But so do banks. We've got to get in and get our share of this and more. And so it's right through the economy. So super low interest rates and these hot property markets are very dangerous if they're not controlled, in reasonable time.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the trouble is that you don't know till a bit later that you've overshot, right? That's the problem. Trying to read it on the way in is always difficult, because you say, well, that might be a month or two, and then you look back and think, oh, actually, the last 6 months have been pr pr pretty pretty serious. So it seems to me that we are concluding that, sure, eventually rates will go up, but probably not in the very short term, that people need to be very careful about what they lock themselves into. And I always say to people is, you know, you should assume rates will go up. So when you actually do your sums in terms of what you can afford to borrow, don't necessarily take as gospel what the bank is telling you, because the bank at the moment is being very generous because rates are so low. Maybe work on a 1 or 2% buffer so that you've got a bit of a latitude as well. And, you know, better to borrow a little less and be a little more comfortable rather than absolutely being stretched. Bearing in mind, of course, that the Reserve Bank is still saying that in real terms, incomes are not going to grow at all over the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. We have, I mean, what saved our generation was inflation. And inflation, you know, when interest rates were 18%, inflation was 12 or 13%. It saved us, though, because it meant that our incomes went up and we could then afford the loan that basically we couldn't afford. And so it saved us. It's not here this time around, and it won't be here for quite a while. And so you know, you've borrowed more than you can really afford. By the time rates move up, they'll start moving up reasonably fast, not as fast as they fall. And you know, people, you've allowed a buffer of 2%. There's no way you're making that up with your wages as inflation runs at the moment. And nor are you allowing for another 5 or 6%, because you've only got to go back 12 years to remember that interest rates were 8%. Yeah. And they will get there again sometime. So it's going to be tough for people to make the right call now. I think they're in a position where there's no way anyone's going to wait more than 3 or 4 years. People are feeling under a lot of pressure to get in. Is it the next 6 months, or is it, you know, the 6 months or 12 months after that? Well, it's a hard call for everybody. You know, none of us really know the right answer to that. But none of us do want to miss out when we see rates moving up this fast.
Oh, exactly right. Well, it's certainly a fascinating dilemma. And, you know, what I think I've said several times, and I'll say it again, the level of uncertainty, both locally and internationally, is probably as high as it's ever been. So, again, another reason perhaps to be a little more cautious than some would want to persuade us to try and pile in and get that really big mortgage and buy that big, really big property. Well, maybe, but just be a little bit cautious because things are a little bit uncertain.
Yeah, they are. And it's interesting because Australians have always said you can't go wrong with property. Well, you can, because we are in a slightly different position from where we've been before. We've never seen interest rates down this low, you know, an RBA rate of 10 basis points. So we've never seen anything like that. And we're most of the levers are gone now. And so if something goes wrong in the economy, then it's going to be hard to stimulate it again because interest rates are so low. So if something goes wrong, then prices will fall and tumble a bit, house prices. So we are in an exposed position. I still am a big believer in property, and I think I'd love to see young people get into their first house because that's the way to get ahead. And even when you think about retirement, all of those retirement numbers you see are based on you own a house and don't owe anything on it. And so it's the way to get ahead. I love seeing people get ahead that way. But it is not without risk at the moment. When prices have gone up, you know, 5 or 6% in the last few months, you could be buying at a real peak.
Absolutely. Well, you know, caution is always worth it. And I always think that think once, think twice, you know, because the decisions you take and when you get into property, it's always easy to get in. Sometimes getting out can be a bit more difficult.
Yeah. And it can be a very rough ride on the way. And you know, inflation has been such a help over the last, you know, 30 or 40 years, not just for homeowners. It has been for homeowners, but also for businesses. You think about inflation, the sort of mistakes that have been made in business that were papered over because something they paid $100 million for suddenly is worth $200 million, even though they lost money on it for 5 years. That's, you know, those sort of mistakes are covered by inflation. When we're in a low inflation world, we've actually got to make good decisions.
Absolutely. Steve, I appreciate your time today. Always great to talk with you, get your perspective. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll do it again soon.
Pleasure, Martin. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers.